Hello and welcome to season two of the Underreported Podcast. I am Melanie, your reporter, and on this podcast, I share stories of crimes committed against Black women and Black girls because they are underreported in the media. The format of the episodes for this season, I've switched up a little bit. So the way it works is I will tell a story to you, the audience, but I've also switched out who my co-hosts will be for every episode. So today's co-host, the person I'm sharing what is this called?
The podcast room?
The space. Yes. is none other than Kevin Fredericks, a.k.a. Kev on stage.
Hello, friends. I'm Melanie's brother.
You are. So the way it's going to work, Kev.
Okay.
I am going to tell this story, and you are the voice of the audience. So you respond, react, ask questions, okay, in hopes that it will help make sure that we are telling a full story. Some of the questions you ask, I'm not going to have answers to, okay? But feel free to literally react, respond the way that hopefully the audience
got
is.
Got it.
And that is how we will go about it.
Perfect.
So let's get into it.
This is also my first time hearing this, so everything will be natural. If I laugh, it's because of the vent mechanism, not because things are funny.
Yes. Amen. Let's get into it.
All right.
So today's story is actually one that I covered with Melissa in season one, and at the time of the recording, it was truly an unsolved mystery. But thanks to the hardworking efforts of the police and the victim's family, the case is no longer unsolved. It's about a woman who had everything to look forward to, a new place, a new baby on the way. She was actually 8 months pregnant, and on the day of her baby shower, she just never showed up. It's been 6 years since the day of that baby shower, and she's never been heard or seen from again. Stay tuned to the very end of this episode to hear how the family of this victim finally got the justice that they had been fighting for on July 27th, 2023. This is the underreported story of Akia Eggleston. The story starts in 2017. 22-year-old Akia Eggleston is living in Cherry Hill, Baltimore with her 2-year-old daughter and is about 1 month away from birthing her second child. The baby was breech, and for those of you who may not know, when a baby is breech, it means that their feet or butt are positioned down, meaning that that is what will come out first, which is dangerous, right? It's supposed to be head down.
Mm-hmm.
So Akia, for that reason, is considered high risk, and she's on bed rest. This high-risk pregnancy was just another thing added on to an already rough past few years. In 2012, her mother died from breast cancer, and understandably, Akia had taken it pretty hard. According to one of her aunts, since the death, Akia had become, quote, rebellious, and her relationship with her stepfather, Sean Wilkinson, who actually raised her, had gotten pretty rocky. So all in all, things are not the best, and even with a new baby on the way, and perhaps because of the new baby on the way, Akia had her moments of missing her mom. On April 28th, 2017, as an example, Akia posted on Facebook, quote, I really wish my mother was here. Her mother, had she been alive, I'm sure would have been able to help her putting the final touches on her baby shower, her gender reveal that was quickly approaching, and just kind of like settle her daughter as mothers do.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the baby shower was planned for May 7th, a little over a week from the day that she made the post on Facebook about her mom. Akia's dress is already picked out, and her friends are planning to pick her up in the morning of the baby shower for a hair appointment that they had scheduled for her. So they're like trying to treat her and get her ready for the baby shower. But when they call, they get no answer. So they call again and call again and call again. She never answers. Eventually, she misses the hair appointment. Everyone, of course, is like growing concerned, like, where is Akia? So then, go ahead.
So this the hair point is how far before the baby shower?
It's in the morning and
the baby shower.
The day
okay.
of. Yep. So they're calling her and she doesn't answer.
Got it.
Okay. So everyone kind of grows concerned naturally. And then family members go over to her apartment and they're shocked when they find it basically empty. There's a bed and a dresser, but everything else in the house is gone. By the way it looks, Akia seems to be moving out or had already moved out because it was empty. By May 8th, the day after her baby shower, Akia is reported officially missing to the Baltimore Police Department, and the investigation into her disappearance begins. Police are able to trace the last confirmed interaction with Akia to be on May 3rd, right? So baby shower is May 7th, and the last thing they're able to find is on May 3rd, Akia, who did not have a car of her own, and again, was on bed rest because of her high-risk pregnancy, she was seen on a bank surveillance camera about 3 miles from her house, withdrawing $572. She actually reportedly went to a few different banks, withdrawing money from ATMs and cash cashing checks from like various sources. So she obviously is trying to get some money.
Yeah. So she lived alone.
Correct.
There's no dad in the picture. Her mom had passed away.
She has her stepdad.
He's not in her life?
He's not. No, he is the one who raised her.
Oh, okay.
Her mother. And then her mom passed. And so it's essentially she's left with her stepfather.
And no siblings?
And she had... I didn't find anything about any siblings, at least that I can remember.
I'm just thinking of people who, for a four-day span, if you hadn't been heard from,
right.
who your friends might not check on you as much, but your parents and your siblings probably do.
And remember, the aunt said she had gotten rebellious since her mom died. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship she had with her stepfather had started to turn a little bit because of like her rebellion and like acting out because she essentially missed
but
her mom.
But if you're on bed rest, like... people are checking in on you 100%. more often.
100%.
Probably daily.
Yeah, and it's so close to your pregnancy or to the birth. Yeah. So authorities are able to interview a now deceased female friend of Akia. So the person they interviewed is no longer alive. But the woman confirmed driving Akia to the bank to withdraw money on May 3rd. Okay. The friend claimed to have later dropped her back off at her Cherry Hill neighborhood apartment around 2 to 3 p.m. Akia reportedly told the friend that the money that she was getting was for the down payment on a house that she and her baby's father were going to be seeing later that day.
That was my next question. Where's the baby's dad?
And
is he in the picture?
Right.
Because that's the other person I'm thinking should be.
100%. So we'll get into that.
Okay.
That info has never been able to be completely confirmed. And again, the woman is no longer alive. Yeah. That is her, you know, version of events that she told police. So if there was an actual viewing of an apartment that her and the baby's father were going to do, or if she made it there or not, like police don't actually know. They just have that piece from her and that was it, the piece from the friend. So the cops look into the apartment complex where she lived to see if there was any surveillance footage that they could access. But of course, none of the cameras work.
The cameras.
Typically the problem.
Cameras don't ever work.
They don't ever work.
I feel like the cameras are more of a deterrent than actual.
Actually,
reliable
that.
Thing that is working and taping and able to be accessed.
100%.
I agree. It's entirely too many times that the cameras don't work when you need them to.
So, after canvassing the area, the police find nothing, no additional clues. They have no surveillance footage and they don't know what happened. After examining the inside of the apartment, and I'm assuming talking to the apartment complex, authorities come to believe that Akia had indeed moved out of the apartment, which is surprising because none of her family knew that she was moving. They were able to access her phone records and discover messages between... Actually, you just asked me if she had a roommate, and she did.
That was living with her?
That was living with her. So police are able to access the phone records and discover messages between her and her roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And Akia confirms to this roommate that she plans to move out and live with her unborn son's father by May 10th, 2017.
Okay. 2 days before.
2 days before.
Okay.
Akia's story was covered on an Oxygen show, and on the episode, they detail a text exchange between Akia and one of her friends. The May 3rd text thread goes, Akia says, I'm moving. Friend says, when? Akia says, trying to be out by May 10th or within that week. I get the keys today. Friend says, where? Akia gives a location in the area. Friend says, and who are you moving with? Akia says, my baby's father. Friend does the emoji big eyes face. And then Akia says, we've been living together for a while. It's just on the hush. Don't need nobody in my business. But if he decides to leave, I still get the house. Friend says, so he's been with you at your house now? Akia says, yes. So because Akia had a high risk pregnancy, authorities believe she must have had help being able to move her things.
Yeah.
But are never able to confirm who actually assisted her. There's just, again, the assumption, because she was on bed rest. She's very pregnant. Girl, you're not moving.
Everybody I've known on bed rest
really be on bed rest.
On bed rest.
Resting.
Either sitting down or laying down. I can't imagine moving heavy furniture items alone.
100%. Yeah.
Even no bed rest, doing it like 9 months pregnant, like that seems like a lot.
Absolutely. So they're never able to confirm who actually assisted her. But despite that fact, police suspect no foul play. The FBI does get involved. But again, based on the information and evidence that they have, they decide to no longer look for Akia because all signs are pointing to her choosing to leave.
Yeah.
They said they would put her name on a list so that if she gives birth, they would be alerted.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. She's so close to giving birth. Eventually, you're going to have the baby.
Yes.
They put this alert. For her, if she ever has the baby. But the alert never comes.
That she had the baby?
That, yeah.
What?
So May 3rd was, in fact, the last confirmed interaction or sighting of Akia. It's that bank situation. The friend takes her, the text messages. That's the last actual, like, confirmed interaction that anyone had with Akia. Her cell phone and her social media activity stopped on that day. And the last cell phone ping for her phone came from a tower in the Inner Harbor area where the bank was located. Okay, so as you've already been wondering, who is the dad of her
baby?
Who is this man?
All the Lifetime movie stuff I ever seen, you need to find him first.
Absolutely.
And see what's popping. He's suspect number one.
100%.
Or person you need to question
at
number
least,
one.
At the very least.
Especially if that's where she said she was going.
Yes.
And even if she didn't, who is the father?
Who is the father? So many of her family members didn't actually know who the father of Akia's unborn child was before she went missing. It's unclear why she hid this information from her family, but through the investigation, they eventually discover that the man is a childhood friend of Eggleston's stepfather, Sean Wilkinson.
Oh.
Exactly. Akia's friends do say she had beef with some of the women in his life.
The stepdad's life?
No,
or
her baby's
the
dad.
Baby's dad life. Okay.
Exactly. So just, again, let's run that back. The fact that her baby's dad,
yes,
is childhood friends with her stepfather.
Wait, childhood? What's the age difference?
I don't know how much older he is from Akia, but at the time of this, Akia is in her 20s, and I would only assume her dad is at least, it's her stepdad too,
yeah,
but he's at least
40,
20,
50.
Yeah, exactly, 20 years older.
And the baby's dad was a childhood friend of the stepfather?
Correct.
So is he around the same age, you imagine?
Yeah.
So her baby's dad is like 40, 50.
Exactly.
That's odd.
And she had issues with the women in his life, current and previous women in his life. But there's not much more information provided on what those issues were, what that looks like. Again, because they didn't even know who the dad was, which maybe that's why she was keeping it under wraps,
yeah,
because of who he actually was.
Is this part of the rebellion that she was doing?
Possibly.
That the aunt said?
So although authorities interview the man, his name was never publicly released, and he was never named an official suspect in connection with the disappearance of Akia Eggleston. About 6 months after her disappearance, Akia's friends and family gathered for a vigil in front of her house. And when they start cleaning up the area, a family friend discovered a debit card belonging to Eggleston underneath some bushes, but near the front outside of her apartment. It was noted that the card appeared oddly unweathered, according to the stepfather. Unweathered meaning it had been placed there recently and hadn't been just sitting there for six months. Authorities recovered the card, photographed its original location, but again, didn't release any further information confirming if the card had been planted there or not. So a few months after discovering the card, police do a press conference stating that at this time, they are pivoting the investigation into a homicide. And so remember, at first they were like, we don't think there's no foul play. It seems like she left.
What made them change their mind?
When asked what changed in the case to necessitate this shift, they told the press that she would have had her baby by now and that it seemed out of character to not have contacted someone at this point. They offer a $25,000 reward for any information on her whereabouts or the disappearance of Akia. Shortly after the police initiated the homicide investigation, Wilkinson went to the police station. Wilkinson is the father.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the police station to get an update on her case, and they didn't even know who he was referring to. So he starts to try and gain media attention for the case on his own, but he struggled to get any national news to cover it. The reality is that Akia, if alive, could have been anywhere at this point, and the national news could have helped.
Right.
Which again kind of goes to why I do this podcast is because crimes against Black women and Black girls so often don't get the attention that they need that could actually help, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move a case forward and solve it. I prepared, again, this episode 2 years ago. And when I recently was reading over the episode and doing some kind of final checks, I learned that there was a massive update in the case. On Thursday, February 3rd, 2022, so last year,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore State Attorney Marilyn Mosby announced that Michael Robertson was arrested in Michigan for the murder of 22-year-old Akia Eggleston.
That's the dad? The baby
Michael
dad?
Robertson was, in fact, the father of Akia's unborn son. The full probable cause statement for the arrest stated that the only person with the motive, means, and opportunity to murder Akia Eggleston was the purported reported father of her unborn child, Michael Robertson. This is what the document alleges happened leading up to and on the day Eggleston went missing.
Okay.
Eggleston and Robertson first met in the 1990s when his grandmother babysat her as a child. Okay, so Akia and the father, the baby's dad, met when his grandmother was babysitting her.
And he is not a child at this time.
No.
Okay.
In 2016, they reconnected at a birthday party of a mutual friend and began dating. By September of 2016, Akia is pregnant. But she's not the only one with a new baby on the way.
Oh, no.
So he's 35 at this time. 35-year-old Robertson was also in a relationship with another 22-year-old woman. Oh. So Akia is around that age. And she gave birth to their second child in August of 2016. So he has her pregnant, Akia, yeah, as well as this other woman. And yep, they're both 20-ish years, yeah, younger than him. On May 2nd, Michael sends pictures of an apartment to Akia. Akia purchases some money orders and messages Robertson on Facebook that she got the money orders. And then there was some back and forth between the two. And then around like 6 p.m., Akia posts a picture of her pregnant belly on Facebook. Mm-hmm. At 6:06, 1 minute after the post, Robertson and the mother of his child, his other child, begin texting and Facebook messaging back and forth. The messages continue well into the morning of May 3rd. So you're clear on what's happening?
Yes.
Okay.
The other baby mom sees her.
Sees her post.
Sees her post, and they go into an argument, probably.
Well, Robertson, yes, the baby's dad.
And the other woman.
Are going back and forth.
You see, okay, she pregnant? Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Girl, I know you.
And this goes well into May 3rd, which is, again, the last sighting of her when she had done the bank stuff, yeah, and then got dropped off back at home. So on May 3rd, Akia goes back to the bank to, again, try and cash the money orders and she tells one of the tellers that she knew from high school that the property manager that she's going to go see for this new apartment only takes cash, and that's why she is getting the money. Mm. The employee thinks it's weird because, of course, money orders is more typical for a new apartment, but like, yeah, okay, girl, get your money. Around 4 p.m., Akia orders a lift for Robertson, so she's ordering a lift for the baby's dad to come to her house. His phone records support that he was in the area of her house from 5:35 to about 6:18. At 5:22, Akia, so before he is in the area, Akia sent an invite to her baby shower to somebody, and that was the last known communication from her
phone.
At the press conference, Attorney General Mosby said a telemarketer tried to call Akia's phone at 6:57, and at that time, her and Robertson's phones were located downtown together, and that was the last kind of like ping, right? Robertson told police he last saw Akia on May 1st, right? Which is different than what the information is showing.
Cell phone pings will tell on you every time.
So police have multiple rounds of interviews with Michael Robertson and also find that in October of 2017, following the airing of a local television news report on Akia's case, Robertson Google searches for where does Baltimore City trash go when picked up? He also searches Baltimore City dumpster pickup and Baltimore City landfill, indicating what may have happened to Eggleston's remains.
No.
This year, in July, Michael Robertson, his trial began. It lasted 13 days, and after 1 hour of deliberation, the jury found Michael Robertson guilty of 2 counts of murder.
Oh.
He's now 42 and faces a maximum penalty of 2 life sentences if he gets convicted. And actually, he was convicted.
He was?
Yeah. So this story
did
has
Did they ever
been...
recover the body? What?
No. How did... They've never been able to recover her body.
Nothing?
Nothing.
They just said not probable cause, but like...
Based on what his Google searches are, they assume that her body was probably placed in a dumpster or landfill, something like that. But they just have never... She was 8 months pregnant with a baby on
the
way.
No murder weapon, nothing.
No. Yeah.
And no argument? None of the text messages on Facebook said they were arguing?
No.
What happened?
Well, you can assume... Again, this is the thing about like reading all of this, right? I typically, you know, you start to put your own story together. And so while it is insane, but to Attorney General Mosby's point, he had the motive and the means.
For
and the
sure.
only person, right?
Yeah.
If you're expecting to move, You come over. It's your baby's father. You guys have this secret plan, yeah, right? So he has the opportunity. She calls the lift for him to obviously come over there. And if he was arguing with his other baby's mom.
The other baby's mom thing, that picture, like starting a conversation between them two.
Yeah. Leading into that day.
Yeah. That doesn't give me good feelings
right.
about his intentions yeah. with her.
100%.
I don't know that. I don't want to put nothing on that other woman. But a lot of times men be doing crazy stuff mm-hmm. to prove or disprove
yeah.
something to another woman.
Absolutely.
So I don't think it's a huge leap of
right.
thought that he was like, this is going to be a problem.
100%.
But.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
So, again, he was found guilty. He has been sentenced. And Akia's family gets some, right, sort of closure.
Yeah.
What's unfortunate as well, I mean, this whole thing is unfortunate. But, again, this is a person that Akia's stepfather knew. So I can only, and now her mother is gone. I can only imagine the kind of guilt and like weight that holds because it's like, oh my gosh, I brought in this person, you know, into our family's life and look at what has happened. But again, it's good to see that justice was served in this case, even without the help of the national attention that they were hoping to get. But like through police work and like her family fighting, they were able to get the answers that.
Do you know how much time he got? I know you said it's up to that time. Do you know what the actual conviction was for?
He actually hasn't been sentenced yet. He was found guilty and he faces a maximum penalty of 2 life sentences. But, you know, they
the sentencing is not the
sentencing hasn't happened yet.
But he was found guilty last year and he still ain't been sentenced?
No. He was found guilty on July 27th, 2023. Like,
the a week ago. Started in the
2022. Yeah, in 2022, the attorney general, that's when she brought the charges, when she first indicted him for it.
That was only...
And then it's just taken this amount of time. So the charges come, and then his trial actually started in July of 2023.
Dang. He's going to get basically a life sentence per person.
Exactly. And that's why it was 2 counts because of her and the baby. Yeah. So prayers and thoughts and love out to Akia Eggleston's family and everyone who loved her. We send our thoughts and prayers. Thank you for listening to another episode of Underreported. Until next time.